So many days during the church's year, we have special people that we mark who are called saints. There's the feast day of St. Augustine. There is the feast day of Thomas Aquinas, of St. Catherine of Siena, of St. Therese of Lisieux. Last week, we celebrated the feast day of St. John Paul II. And then 2 weeks ago, for me, something great happened when John Henry Newman became a saint. And so next year, I'm so looking forward when we will celebrate his saint day as well. So although on many days we will name a particular saint, today we don't do that. Today we remember all the saints, all of those men and women, known and unknown, who are now in heaven. To be a saint, that's what our life is for. Back in the 19th century, there was a man by the name of Léon Blois. He grew up at the time of the French Revolution, or just after it, and his father and his mother, they were atheists. They didn't believe in God. Nor did Léon Blois. As a young man, he thought the church, yuck! He hated the Catholic Church, and he hated God. He was an atheist. But then when he was a young man, he lived in Paris, and he lived near a man who had a deep love for Jesus, a deep love for the church. And over time, this neighbor began to so influence the life of Léon Blois that he eventually became a Catholic. And this man, who had hated the church, who had said, I don't believe in God. This man came to say the following words. The only real sadness, the only real failure, the only great tragedy in life, said Léon Blois, is not to become a saint. Woo! He'd been an atheist. And now he says, the only real tragedy, the only real sadness, the only failure is not to become a saint. You ever thought about that? That that's what you are primarily here in this world for, is to become a saint? Well, Léon Blois had a friend whose name was Jacques Maritain. And as a young man in his 20s, Jacques Maritain thought, life sucks. Life doesn't make any sense at all. In fact, life is so bad, if I can't find the meaning of life within a year, I'm going to kill myself. Woo! That's pretty strong language, isn't it? But Jacques Maritain knew Léon Blois. And Léon Blois was able to help Jacques realize, listen, Jake, chill. Your life does really have a meaning. Your life has a purpose. Do you know that you're supposed to be a saint? And that changed Jacques Maritain's life. Instead of saying it's curtains, lights out, instead of, I don't know, maybe jumping into the Seine, he didn't do that. He became a Catholic. And you know what? A guy who wanted to kill himself when he was in his 20s lived to be 91 years old. And he's considered to be one of the most respected philosophers of the 20th century. So what is it about people like this that they can go from wanting to have a death wish to having a heaven wish? That they can go from saying life makes no sense at all to saying that life makes ultimate sense? Well, Jacques Maritain and Léon Blois experienced what the saints have always experienced. Three things. And if you know Bishop Robert Barron, who's one of my heroes, Bishop Barron makes these three points. He says, what is it that the saints all had in common? They knew their center, they knew that they were sinners, and they knew that their life was not about themselves. They knew their true center, they knew they were sinners, and they knew that their life was not about themselves. Now let's think about each of these points. What is our true center? Our true center is Jesus Christ. And the saints all understood this. In that reading that Deacon Stephen sang from the Gospel of St. Matthew, it's called the Beatitudes. Now, I know you might not be able to look at that word just in your imagination, but maybe write that word down or look at it at some point. The word beatitude, it looks like the word beauty. Wow, beauty, beatitude. They're like the same word. And what Jesus does here is he gives us eight maxims of beauty. Well, what's a maxim? A maxim is a saying that expresses a general rule or a conduct. And here are some maxims that you've maybe heard before. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. A friend in need is a friend Indeed, a good beginning makes a good ending. A man is known by the company he keeps. A watched pot never boils. Okay, these are all maxims, right? They are general statements that make an observation about life. Well, the Beatitudes are the maxims of Jesus Christ. Maxim. Oh, how to live life to its max. How to get the most out of life. That's what a maxim is. And Jesus gives us these eight Beatitudes that are beautiful. And let me just remind you of them. The first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit. That is people who say, I can't be a saint. You got to be kidding me. If it's left to me, it's never going to happen. But the saints, the ones who are poor in spirit, then say, blessed are those who mourn. What does it mean to mourn? It means to realize life sucks without God. Kind of like Jacques Maritain, who wanted to kill himself. He was really sad. But then he came to realize, no, life is meaning. And so the third thing the saints are discovering when we're living with a center in Jesus, we're learning to be meek. To be meek is to be docile, to listen to the voice of God. And so people who are meek are learning to hear Jesus speak to them. And get this, people who are meek, as they're surrendering their lives to Jesus, are learning to hunger and thirst for the right. I want to do the good. I want to do that which is best. And then those who are learning to hunger and thirst for the right are learning to be merciful. Do you sometimes have a tendency to do what I sometimes do? In your thinking, you cut other people down? Say, well, I would never do that. That's not a very merciful thing to say, is it? But people who are learning to be saints are learning that I want other people to be saints too, and I know how hard it is. And so we're learning to cut people slack. We're learning to be merciful, to be generous with one another. And then this leads to a particular kind of beauty, what Jesus calls a purity of heart. And we want to be peacemakers. We realize that in our lives, as we come to know Jesus as the center, our lives make sense. And it gives us a freedom. So all of the saints have discovered to put Jesus at the center. That's the first point. The second point is we all need to know that we're sinners. Now, I have an office that's just over beyond the hallway there, but my office looks to the west. And so in the afternoon in the fall at around 3 o'clock, as the sun is shining right through my window, do you know what I noticed? That is one dirty window. Boy, oh boy, that's a dirty window. Now, being in the same office at nighttime when it's dark out, I'd look out that window and I think that window's just fine, thank you very much. But when the sun's shining right through it, I'm so thankful that there's someone I work with by the name of Annie. And a couple of weeks ago, Annie said, Father Jonathan, I'm going to clean your window. And she did. And I came in the next day, and that window that had been all dirty was now sparkly as the sun shone through it. People who are growing close to Jesus, people for whom Jesus is the center, are having the Son of God shine into their lives. And you know what the thing about the saints is? They realized that they were sinners. Now, to be a sinner doesn't necessarily mean primarily to do lots of bad, 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 bad stuff, but it's to be preoccupied with me. I want to be the center of my life. I want to be in charge. I want to be the boss. But people who are allowing for Jesus to shine through are like John in that reading from the epistle, where he said, one day we're going to see God. One day we're going to see Jesus. And one day you're going to be like him. Have you ever thought about that? That after you die, you're actually going to see Jesus Christ? Does that freak you out a little bit? It should. It freaks me out a lot. But here's the cool thing about being Catholic. Every time you come to Mass, we get to practice. Because Jesus is on the altar. Body, blood, soul, and divinity in the sacrament of the Eucharist. But he's so chilled and cool in this world that we can miss him. When you see Jesus in heaven, you're not going to be able to say, I don't know if that's him. Whereas here, you can make a choice to say that's Jesus or that's just a wafer. The saints all knew that this is Jesus Christ on the altar. And that light shining into their lives recognized that they needed to go to confession regularly, to confess our sins. Because you see what confession is? It's kind of like what Annie did with my window when she cleaned it that day. Confession cleanses our souls. So if you've had your sacraments, when you've had your sacrament of reconciliation, my question is, when did you last go to confession? When did you last, parents, take your children to confession? When did you adults last go to confession? When did I, Father Jonathan, last go to confession? For you see, we all need to discover the reality of this gift. For people who are learning to have Jesus as the center, as we're learning to recognize that we are sinners, thirdly, we realize that our life is not about ourselves. And I want to end with a story of someone you've perhaps heard of, St. Mother Teresa. St. Mother Teresa embodied this in her life in a way that few people have. She understood that her life was not about her. Her life was to be given in the service of others. And one of the things that we heard in that reading from the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, that there are 144,000 people before God. Well, actually, there were a lot more, because right after in that passage, it says, John looks and he says, there are more people than I can count. But the number 144,000 is the number of perfection. It's the number of completion. It's the number of the saints. And so what we understand as Christian people, and particularly as Catholic Christians, is that when we worship God and we put God at the center as they do in heaven, then out of the Mass, when we go out into the world, when we go back to our classes, when we are at home, when we are living with others, we recognize that we are in this world not to be served, but to serve. And that means at home. You don't wait for someone to say, can you set the table? You'll do it. You don't wait for someone to say, can you help with the dishes? You'll do it. Because you're learning with those simple little things to say, my life is not about me. My life is about others. Listen to what St. Mother Teresa said about the Mass. The Mass is the spiritual food that sustains me. Listen to this. This is Mother Teresa. The Mass is the food that sustains me, she said, without which I could not get through one single day or hour in my life. Woo! Like, of course she could live, but she couldn't live as a saint. Without the Mass, without Jesus, she couldn't become like Jesus. You see, the Eucharist is the spiritual hinge that allowed for Mother Teresa to be united to the mystical body of Christ through a life of prayer, her daily devotion, and her work amongst the poor and the outcast. When people visited her home in Calcutta, do you know what the very first room was? The Adoration Chapel. Because it was out of that life of having Jesus at the center, of knowing that she was a sinner, that she could say, Jesus is the master of the house. So let me ask you, is Jesus the master of your house? Is Jesus the master of your soul? Is Jesus the master of your family? Is Jesus the master of your schola? Is he the master of this parish and every parish? Because he wants to be the master of the house. Because, believe me, when you learn to live with Jesus at the center, when you learn to discover that you are a sinner and that your life is not about you, then you have a conversion like Léon Blois, who says that the only great tragedy is not to realize that you're to become a saint. And then instead of your life being one of despair where you want to end it all because it sucks, like Jacques Maritain, you say, no, my life is worth living. And if God gives me 30 years, 40 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, I want to use my life in the way that I can to become the best person that I can. Because Jesus left us the Beatitudes. He left us these beautiful sayings. Because you know what Jesus wants you to become? He wants you to become a beautiful saint. May he help each one of us. And may all of the saints who are praying for us help us to discover what our life is for. To have Jesus as the center, to know that we are forgiven sinners, so that we can live not for ourselves, but for others.